Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, let's start out today by taking a look at the NFC North, the Packers' three opponents. Chicago Bears finished in last place in 2015. New coach John Fox last year trying to rebuild the defense. When I look at the Bears for 2016, I look at a team that essentially is adding two first-round draft picks. Kevin White, the wide receiver from West Virginia, their first-round pick last year, missed the entire season. Now they've also added Leonard Floyd to the defense as their first-round pick this year. That's two first-rounders that could make a really big impact and change some things in Chicago.
The pedigree of Kevin White, I don't think, has ever been questioned at all. I mean, when he came in last year, they were expecting him to be a game-changer from day one.
Yep.
The injury surfaces, takes him out for the rookie season. But it seems like, at least all the reports have been, it's not something they think will really inhibit him throughout his career. It's just an isolated event, get him healthy. Pairing him with Alshon Jeffrey now, that gives Jay Cutler a really strong 1-2 punch. And when you look at Leonard Floyd, this is one of the guys I was highest on in the NFL, going back to the draft this past spring. He fits Vic Fangio's defense well, which is obviously a takeoff of Dom Capers' scheme of 3-4. Really lean. I know there was questions about his production in college, but I think he's a guy that really is going to add something as far as the pass rush is concerned to that Bears defense.
Yeah, a couple of other additions to the defense as well. Jonathan Bullard on the defensive line was added in the draft. And then Danny Trevathan, a linebacker, added in free agency to a pretty hefty contract. So a lot of changes on that side of the ball for the Bears. Back to the offensive side, no more Matt Forte, a guy the Packers have seen twice a year for a number of years, a real pro, super productive guy in all facets of the running back, rushing, receiving, blocking, everything. He's gone, and a second-year guy, Jeremy Langford from Michigan State, takes over as their number one running back. What do you see that changing with the Bears' offense?
Well, Langford's going to have to show that he can be the passing and receiving threat that Matt Forte was. I thought that's one of the things that made him so volatile for an opposing defense, is that he could hurt you in so many different ways. And the Packers got a good taste of that for a number of years, and,
yeah,
and how versatile and productive he can be. With Langford, certainly the Bears like what they've seen so far. You look at his production last year, might not be a true gauge of what they think he can do, but this is going to be a big year of transition for them offensively with their run game, trying to see if they can find a guy to move into those shoes.
Yeah, and speaking of transitions on offense, you look at the Detroit Lions, another opponent in the NFC North. No more Megatron. Calvin Johnson decides to hang up the spikes in the offseason, and I think the big question with the Lions is, can Golden Tate be a number one receiver? Now, so far, we've heard the Lions say all the right things. They certainly believe in Golden Tate, but we saw what happened to the Packers last year when they lost Jordy Nelson.
Right.
You take Calvin Johnson out of the equation, it changes the way defenses are going to play against the Lions. What do you see from their passing game with this change?
This is the biggest test that they've had, and they've had some rough years. And still, when you look at it, and with all due respect to Jordy Nelson, with Calvin Johnson, you're talking about the focal point of an offense for 8-9 seasons.
The guy that defensive coordinators game planned around
every
all the
single
time.
Week.
Yeah.
Joe Witt had talked about it, the Packers cornerbacks coach, with us this offseason, saying that he's a guy that caused him a lot of gray hairs already.
You're not kidding.
He was established, and he was still doing it at a high level. Now, how do they replace it? You look at Golden Tate, who came off a great season in 2014. Last year, only 9 yards per catch on 90 receptions. Matthew Stafford having to show that he can be more consistent. It's going to stress that whole Lions offense. And after losing Sue a year ago, now Johnson, can they come back and rally after losing arguably their two best players?
Yeah, and on the defensive side for Detroit, they're expected to get DeAndre Levy back at linebacker. And I remember some games in the past against the Packers where DeAndre Levy might have been the best player on the field. And when Aaron Rodgers and Calvin Johnson and Jordy Nelson and all these guys are on the field and you're saying DeAndre Levy was the best player that day, that says a lot.
Right.
But defensively then, we also look at the Minnesota Vikings, the team the Packers are chasing. They're the defending division champs, knocking the Packers off of that four-year reign atop the division. Defensively, I see a lot of really young, up-and-coming players that are coming into their own. Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr, Sharif Floyd. At defensive back, you have Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes potentially now getting some more experience. Harrison Smith, the safety, gets a new contract. This is a defense under Mike Zimmer that is going to be tough to deal with.
What's most impressive about Mike Zimmer's defense is he's shown in the past, even when he might not have all the talent, he can create a disruptive scheme with that double A-gap blitz right up the middle, overwhelming interior offensive linemen. Now when you start adding in some of these weapons that they have, that's probably the point. In no disrespect to what the Vikings are doing offensively, they got some really good receivers now. Boehringer, now they drafted the receiver from Germany. But defensively, I think, is where they're setting the tempo. So many teams now are going towards offensive quarterback-type coaches as head guys. And I think with Zimmer, which we've seen, is how going to the defensive side of the ball can really revolutionize your team.
Yeah, and you mentioned the wide receivers for the Vikings. They added Laquon Treadwell as a first-round draft pick. He'll now be paired with Stephon Diggs, who was a really impressive rookie for the Vikings last year. Teddy Bridgewater now transitioning into year three, a quarterback that some people still have questions about. I think Bridgewater can really be the guy for Minnesota. He did everything he needed to do in the freezing cold in the fourth quarter to win that playoff game against Seattle. That playoff loss was not on Teddy Bridgewater. What do you see from that quarterback in his third year?
He has the weapons, certainly. When you look at Diggs coming out of nowhere, really, to become a big part of that offense. Treadwell, I liked, you know, the comparisons to Larry Fitzgerald with him coming out of the draft. Not the fastest guy, but knows how to get open. Bridgewater, I am one of the guys that still has questions about him.
Okay.
He has the moxie that you look for in an NFL quarterback. Stands in the pocket, willing to take the hit. I wonder about the talent level. The Vikings like where their holdings are right now with him, and we'll have to see if he can take him to the next step.
Yeah, and Adrian Peterson isn't going anywhere, last I checked.
So. Nice guy to have in your backfield.
Yeah, all right. We'll call that a wrap on the NFC North for now, but we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, let's turn our attention for a minute to Julius Peppers. Veteran player, has played a big role on this Packers defense the last 2 years, his two seasons in Green Bay. He enters 2016, tied for ninth all-time in sacks in NFL history. What do you see in 2016 for Julius Peppers?
It was funny. I was looking through one of the stat charts as far as the production. It was actually for Charles Tillman when it comes to turnover production. And Tillman's in a different stratosphere when it comes to forced fumbles and interceptions. But there's a big clump of people. And then there's sort of this outlanding sort of area. And it's Charles Woodson and Julius Peppers are in that kind of stratosphere. And what's impressive with that is that it shows you when Ted Thompson – I know people talk about Ted Thompson not making moves. But when he does make a move, he gets guys that are durable and productive. And that's something that I think has been the tie-in with Peppers and Woodson, even though they're at different parts of their careers. And but what impresses me the most about Peppers right now – and Clay Matthews said this earlier this offseason – it never was like there was a 20-sack season. It's just been consistency from day one.
I believe it's 9 times in his career he's been in double digits in sacks, including last year. Last year was the 9th time. He has 136 career sacks, tied for 9th all-time with Jared Allen, who just retired. If Peppers gets 6 more sacks, which would be a below-average year for him, he will climb all the way to 5th on the list. He will jump John Randall, Richard Dent, Jason Taylor, and Michael Strahan. And if he gets double digits again, he'll be approaching Chris Dolman for 4th all-time. Dolman is 14.5 sacks ahead of Peppers right now. That's a lot of Hall of Famers on that list right there.
Yeah, and when you hear all of his teammates talk about this, they all talk about how, I think Mike Daniels said it, I mean, he's a gold jacket in his mind. And
yeah.
What he's done in this game and how different he is. There's no one like Julius Peppers in the NFL, and whenever his time in Green Bay is up, you're not just going to be able to draft another Julius Peppers. You're not going to be able to bring in another body type like him that can be that productive. And the fact that he's been able to keep himself healthy like he has, you know, to this point of his career, no major surgeries, no major injuries.
I think only a couple of missed games, you know, in his entire career.
Incredible.
14 years, yeah.
So, and that's one of the things that he has brought a much like Charles Woodson did, just a veteran presence and a respectability to this defense that when he walks into the room, everybody knows who the leader is.
Yeah, and what jumps out about me when I watch Peppers, having watched him closely now in games for the last 2 years, he's not one of these guys who gets lucky where there's a missed blocking assignment and he just gets a free run at the quarterback, you know, a cheap sack, you might want to say. He has to work at it. He's always got guys on him. He has to beat that offensive tackle, maybe even beat the running back who's trying to chip him on a double team. The guy just works and works and works, and as you say, there's that consistency where the sack numbers are always there at the end of the year. And now the Packers, as we've talked about before, will get back to having Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers as the bookends, the whole idea when Peppers was brought in 2014.
And you look at Matthews last year, how much he played inside, particularly in the nickel defense, which tends to be their most popular scheme for a lot of teams in the NFL. Peppers' production, I think Dom Capers and those coaches, you know, Winston Moss, the linebackers coach, I think they came up with a, I don't want to say a better formula, but a more comfortable formula for how to use Peppers last year. He had to play outside a lot his first year in Green Bay. I think it was over 800 defensive snaps. Last year, they seemed to figure out a better pattern for him, and it really upped his production across the board. And getting that ninth Pro Bowl for you know 15 years, incredible to be able to have that kind of production.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, he's still searching for that Super Bowl ring. It's the biggest reason that he came to Green Bay in 2014 with the way this team is put together. You know, he's like a lot of players who go to a Super Bowl early in their careers, which he did early on in his career in Carolina. He got to a Super Bowl. They lost right at the final buzzer to New England. You think when you're that young, oh, you know, there'll be more chances. I'll always get back. He hasn't been back after all this time, and obviously he came so close with the Packers in 2014. He came so close with the Bears in 2010 when the Packers beat them in Chicago in the NFC Championship. He really wants to get back to a Super Bowl and win it.
He does, and I remember talking with him in 2014 before the NFC title game and really came, you know, during his time in Green Bay, he's gotten more and more out of his shell. And he's really talked about what that means to him, and really that being the only uncharted territory in his career. It was the driving, motivating factor, I think, for him coming back this year, and it's going to be one of those things I think that's going to be really the apple out there for him trying to make that complete in terms of when he looks back on it.
And we've seen this in Packers history. Reggie White, a Hall of Famer, came to Green Bay and won a championship. You mentioned Charles Woodson, a Hall of Famer, came to Green Bay and won a Super Bowl. Maybe it's Pepper's turn.
Maybe it is.
All right. Well, we'll turn our attentions after the break to another, a younger player on the Packers defense and safety, HaHa Clinton Dix. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, let's talk about third-year safety HaHa Clinton Dix. I think we'd both agree that his breakout game was that NFC title game in Seattle at the end of his rookie year. He had two interceptions, maybe could have had a third in that one. Then he came back in 2015, you know, looked like a more mature player, a very solid player on the Packers defense and a key piece of it. Is this the year that HaHa Clinton Dix goes from being a solid player to a true difference maker for Dom Capers?
The potential's certainly there. I think everybody can feel it. And I'm talking with Darren Perry a little bit for a story I did during the summer. He really talked about, he's coached some really fine safeties in this league during his time in Pittsburgh and now the last 7 years in Green Bay. But he talked about, he doesn't know if he's had a guy have as much production and play as often as HaHa Clinton Dix has in his first two seasons. I think he's played almost every snap, you know, since he's stepped in as a starter full-time midway through the 2014 season. If you look at the NFL statistics, 192 tackles, four sacks, three interceptions, those might not be numbers that jump out to you and just scream, you know, future Pro Bowler, future All-Pro. But I think we've seen the steps he's made in his career to this point. He has the size, the makeup, really a good pedigree for that position. And I think we're starting to see him, only 23 right now, won't turn 24 until December, really start to emerge as one of the top young cornerbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, you mentioned three interceptions in two regular seasons, three interceptions also in two postseasons.
Right.
He had the two in Seattle, added a third interception in the playoff game in Arizona last year. I actually thought his best play last year was in the home game against Detroit, and I know that's a game the Packers lost, but Detroit was knocking on the door near the red zone for a touchdown, and Clinton Dix undercut a seam route down the middle by wide receiver Lance Moore and just made a tremendous diving interception at the goal line that kept the Packers in the game at the time. And those are the kind of plays I think that he's going to start making on a more regular basis. The progression, as you said, everything we've seen is there for Clinton Dix, and being paired with a veteran like Morgan Burnett at safety there, you know, this could really be a big year for him.
And the Packers, they always preach the flexibility and you know, being able to be multiple with their how they use their safeties. Clinton Dix and Burnett are really mirror images of each other when you look at their size, their makeup, and they can use them in different positions. And as Perry said, in those 5 weeks that they didn't have Burnett early on last season, it forced Clinton Dix to become more vocal, forced him to be, you know, more of a leader on that defense. And he said this offseason, Clinton Dix did, that that's something he's wanting to really expand on going into next season, because that safety position is the quarterback of the secondary, and they need to really set the tempo. And I think with his play and the playmaking that he's shown, the instincts that he's shown, they have a real good possibility with him and Burnett, especially over these next two seasons, to become one of the top, if not the top, safety tandem in the NFL.
Yeah, Clinton Dix, what I saw in his second year also was an improvement in tackling. We've seen plenty of rookies come through this league, and they're going to miss tackles. It just happens. I thought he really cut down on that in 2015, was a much stronger tackler, really showed that he can play the center field and play in the box, be that versatile safety that Dom Capers and Darren Perry like to have. The words of praise that Clinton Dix got from Mike McCarthy at the scouting combine, you know, shortly after the season was over, really said something too, I think, about what the head coach thinks of the role that he could play in this defense in 2016.
Yeah, and he doubled down on that when we got back for the offseason program, saying he's as fine as a safety as you'll find in the NFL. That's high praise. Mike McCarthy doesn't just throw that out there.
Yeah, certainly not.
It's a reflection of how he feels. Dom Capers has talked about it a lot too. And really, he does. He brings an aggressive mindset. I do not want to be on the receiving end of one of his hits. But he's done it within control. And that's the hardest thing to do for safety, finding that balance. Morgan Burnett did it at a pretty early point in his career, I thought.
Sure.
But the fact that Clinton Dix can do what he's done so far, I think really bodes well for what's to follow.
Yeah. Well, a lot of talk so far about defense in today's show. We'll turn our attentions to special teams after the break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment today. Let's touch a little bit on special teams. Now, usually special teams are filled with all kinds of young players. That's how they cut their teeth in the NFL, so to speak. I look at the Packers in 2016. There are going to be some rookies in there, don't get me wrong. But I see the Packers having a fair number of veteran guys with a lot of experience on special teams who really can be the leaders of that group, and a pretty large group of leaders, you might say. Who do you see as some of those veteran guys stepping forward on special teams?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Mike, because when you look at the special teams unit, it's sort of like they had this resurgence, you know, changing the guard, so to speak, in 2014 with, you know, Jerone Elliott stepping up. Chris Banjo has become a big focal point of it since he has been on the roster full-time at the end of the 14 season. And I start with Elliott because I think Jay has a mentality on the field that is, you know, I appreciate it. I like what he does out there. He wasn't natural to it at Toledo, but he has a good size for it. But
he
also
can
run
too.
He does, yeah. And he also has a really approachable personality. And I think when you talk to a lot of these young guys, both as outside linebackers trying to make the roster or just special teams guys in general, they look at Elliott as a guy that can be looked towards. And you know, even Ron Zook talked about it this offseason, saying in a meeting it kind of caught Elliott off guard when he pointed out that this is one of the guys you need to go to. And that really says a lot, I think, about where he's at right now and how far he's come in a pretty short time.
Yeah, Chris Banjo, another guy you mentioned, you know, doesn't have the size, but I think he's deceptively fast. I think teams don't really understand how fast he can run, how he gets down the field in coverage. And when you talk about speed, Jeff Janis as a gunner on on punt coverage, boy, he really established himself as a key weapon on special teams for the Packers, with tackling punt returners right at the point of the catch, or even for a 1 or 2 yard loss. That played a big factor in the Packers setting a franchise record, actually, for net punting average last year. And there's no reason to see Janis taking a step back in that role.
Basically, you have to have, in order to go to the Pro Bowl to be a special teams player, you have to be ultra productive, but you also have to be really well, relatively respected and known across the NFL. Janis is still young in his career, but I would put that special team season up against anybody in terms of when you factor in the kickoff return, when you factor in the gunner. And Jared Bush did a tremendous job in that position. They've had success with it before in the past. It isn't new. But just the difference that Janis made last year, that went a big, big, long way in terms of field position. And it's amazing. Nobody could block him. And yeah. it just something that came natural to him. He had got off to a slow start, but once he hit his rhythm, you couldn't stop him.
Yeah, even against double teams, teams really had a hard time dealing with him, and it affected the punt game all season long. Aaron Ripkowski, a second-year
right.
guy,
yep.
we talked about him in a previous show. He really established himself on special teams last year as a rookie, and I see him as another young guy who's going to be looked to as more of a veteran guy now in his second year, who is a good blocker on returns, and he can get down the field and on the coverage and make tackles.
A lot of changes to the NFL recently. I know trying to make player safety primary with special teams. I always love, though, it is the area where guys can really show. It comes down to who's the hungriest, and those are the guys that can emerge and really flourish. I thought we saw that with Ripkowski last year, and I really respect what he's done so far in a small span.
Yeah, yeah, sounds good. Well, that's a wrap on today's show, and be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see you next time.